listening to Sam in the Morning, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to a new week and our show. As always, today is Monday, November 18th, actually. And as we're moving towards Thanksgiving, I'm excited because then the rest of the holidays come. And then it's fun and festive and whatever, you know. And we have a guest here from New York. And I just wanted to say I love New York during the holidays. It's just beautiful then, you know. So I'll introduce our guest. We have the beautiful Lachi. Welcome to the show.
Hello, hello, hello. Thank you for having me. Excited to be here.
Yeah, thank you.
Let me turn you up a little bit.
Ooh.
Well, thank you for visiting us. You're not from here, right? You're from New York?
Yeah, I'm from the other side, the other coast.
Yes. Were you born there in New York?
No, I was born in Maryland. My parents are Nigerian.
Oh, wow.
I was born in Maryland, and we lived in Pennsylvania a little bit, lived in North Carolina a little bit. But I ended up in New York, went to NYU, and just stayed.
Oh, wow.
Just stayed.
Yeah, I don't blame you.
I liked the hustle.
Yeah, New York is pretty cool, and it's hard to resist, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I've been there several times, and I like visiting there, although I don't know that I could live there, you know? I mean, I'm a California guy, you
It's
know?
Not for everyone.
No,
you
got to
wake up ready every morning. It's like every day is an adventure. But
right.
For some, they like that. For others, it's like, you know what? I need to be able to go to sleep when I go home and wake up and feel rested.
right. Yeah. So in the press release, it says that you're legally blind, right?
Yes.
So explain a little bit about that. Can you see me? I mean.
Yeah. So I was born with very low vision, and I had much better vision when I was younger.
Oh, really? So you were able to see?
Yeah, I was able to see much better.
I see.
But now I can't really see too much. I definitely can't see in my right eye. And then in my left eye, it's, you know, shapes, colors, movements. If you're like right in my face. So I like to tell people I can't tell if a guy is cute from across the room.
Okay, but I'm cute.
I can tell, but I can tell if a guy is cute right before we make out.
Oh,
so,
I see.
You know what I mean?
So that close you can tell.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Right. You
That's
got
important.
It.
That's the important thing.
Exactly.
You know?
Right at the end, I'm like, you know what? Hold on. It's not you. It's me.
Yeah. So you grew up not being able to see very well?
Yeah, I did. And it's funny because they all told me I needed to use a cane.
Right.
And I was like, oh, no, I don't want to use a cane. I already feel like I stand out and this and that.
Right.
But now I use my cane everywhere and it's all blinged out because I just want to celebrate who I am. Like, I don't want to be afraid or shy about it because it's made me who I am.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and it's part of you. And
exactly.
You know, and I mean, you seem to me like not only a normal not normal, but but someone who can see.
Right.
But I mean, you've accomplished yourself quite a bit.
Sure.
You know, you look great.
Well, thank you.
And you have a great attitude, and that's important.
Yeah, I figure, like, listen, if we're here, we made it to the party called life.
Right.
So let's have a good time.
Yeah.
You know.
Were there times when you fell down?
You know, I mean, again, when I was younger, yes. And I mean, look, at the end of the day, I'm still like a woman of color trying to, you know, there's other things going on here too as well.
Of course.
But you know, I was super shy. I had trouble making friends. And because of that, I would play the piano. Like I would, you know, I started writing, writing songs, writing poems, all of that kind of stuff just to understand the world better.
Amazing.
But then also to try to get the world to understand me through what I was writing.
Right.
And so, yes, even though I would have like really down times, I really had music to sort of catch me when I would fall.
I see. Wow. That's pretty cool. I mean, music can do that, you know?
Yes.
Yeah. And we'll get more into your music and everything. A little bit about more about your childhood. Do you have any siblings, brothers?
Yeah, I have a pretty big family. Really? My mom had 7 kids.
Oh, wow.
And adopted an 8th.
Yeah, really?
Exactly. Yeah. They were Catholic. My parents are Catholic, so
okay.
I don't know. They don't, you know, the kids just keep popping out. But anyway.
But that's interesting. After 7 kids, you still adopt someone, right?
Yeah.
Or was after how many kids?
Yeah, no, that was after all 7. It's a lot of it is because, so both my parents were kind of like community like builders in Nigeria. Mm-hmm. And in their village, they would always take care of everybody. They had this, you know, really big home and tons of kids would come and, you know, our cousins, it would just always be a full house.
Yeah.
And then when they came to America, same deal. You know, people would always come to their house and there was always kids around. And so my mother was always sort of taking care of like the kids who didn't have like the orphans too.
Right. Oh,
and so essentially one of our cousins kind of was on their own.
Uh-huh.
And so my mother took them in.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, so. Now, when they came to America, about how old were they? They were married already,
right? Yeah. But they were like, they were pretty young. They came in their
early 20s.
They came and they went to school.
I see.
They
didn't have any kids yet, right, at that point?
I think they did. Yeah, they had they had three children when they came to the U.S.
I see. Okay. So they moved the whole family.
Yeah, they moved the whole family.
Yeah.
So really, essentially, my mother, her father wanted to get all of his children out of Nigeria during the war.
I see.
And so he, like, education was a good way to kind of do that. And then my family was already pretty highly educated.
Right.
So they valued education.
Yeah.
So he was able to get his children to America before, some of his children to America before the Biafran War, which was the Nigerian War of the 70s.
I see. Yeah, the 70s. I remember that. I was growing up at the time.
Mm.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
So I remember that.
Oh, wow.
You're too young. You don't remember that.
No, I wasn't born yet. I don't know. But yeah,
so they had pretty good education back then.
Yeah,
in Nigeria
had pretty good education. Is like, so we're Igbo, which is one of the three tribes. Okay. Education is a very big part of being Igbo, and also, I mean, you know, and then coming to America, we lived essentially the immigrant life, right?
Right.
And usually, the immigrant life is very like education driven,
right?
So we were a very educational household.
Very nice. What was your dad doing at the time?
My dad was
for a living.
Like accounting, and my mom was a teacher and eventually became a professor.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So did she get like her PhD here?
And she did, actually. And, while she was popping all the kids out, she was actually going to school. And she would get in trouble because she would go like to class pregnant, and then she would, like, you know, after the weekend, come back to class not pregnant. And people are like, you can't be coming back to class this quick.
Yeah, right? Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah,
you know,
really
amazing. I mean, if a family that big, it's hard to manage, you know, I would imagine.
Yeah.
Right? They say some of the kids raise the other kids.
Some of the kids raise the other kids. There's a ton of us. Everyone in the family is pretty successful. They all have their own kids now. And we're pretty spread out around across America.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Nice. So. And where are you in the list? Like, how old?
I am the 7th of 8.
Oh, you're the 7th.
I'm the baby girl.
Oh, wow.
And I have a younger brother. Yeah. So
I see.
Yeah. And then I'm the only one that pursued like arts, you know, the arts.
Yeah.
So I'm the
everybody else went into other things.
The other things, doctors, like, you know, immigrants, right? Doctors and stuff like that.
But
nurses.
That's pretty cool. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So they all got good education here.
Yes. Everybody's very, nice. Well educated.
Very nice. Mm-hmm. So your parents really made a good move when they came here.
Yeah, and especially for me as a girl who has vision loss, right? Mm-hmm. You know, it's different in third world countries the way they value disability, right? Mm-hmm. So over here, there is, you know, there's a lot of complaining that people do, like, oh, we need to make sure that things are accessible and this and that. But in third world countries, like, the opportunity to even complain about it is not there. Right.
Yeah,
so it is definitely a really good move for me to be able to have an education,
right,
to have friends, be valued, and then to become successful in whatever I wanted to do.
Right.
You know, I wasn't limited to just, you know, make sure you work at the desk or make sure you this or that.
Right.
I was like, you know, after college, I got a job and then I started doing art. And then here I am now because of the fact that America values folks with disabilities in a way where we have rights.
That's true.
And so that's one of the biggest positives for my parents moving here, I think.
Yeah. Now, did they move before the war or during the war or after?
Yeah, one of my uncles came before the war.
I see.
And so it was like my mother's older brother came before the war. And then after that, him being here helped him bring everybody else.
I see. So did they come as refugees?
No, they didn't.
Just no. regular immigrants.
Yeah, they came for education.
Right.
They came on education visas, and then they got jobs.
Right.
And they both started working, and then the Reagan amnesty.
Right.
So they became
citizens. It was citizen. A lot easier back yeah, then yeah, to yeah, get yeah, a citizenship. Yeah.
Exactly. So there, my mom is a citizen. She voted, you know. Uh-huh. So.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah,
yeah. So you grew up in, where did you do most of your growing up, like before high school?
I grew up in North Carolina and a combination of upstate New York, Pennsylvania, and North Carolina.
I see. Oh, okay. So you moved around quite a bit.
I moved around quite a bit. So.
Was it hard to make friends every time you moved?
You know, I went, first of all, I went to like 10 schools.
Wow.
From K through 12.
Wow.
So, yeah, it was difficult to make, but I've got to say, I became better at adapting.
Mm-hmm.
And I was already kind of an outcast, and I don't want to say a loner, but like, you know, I would make a couple of friends, but I was used to just like making a couple of friends and then spending a lot of time just doing music and stuff
yeah,
like that.
Yeah.
I also became friends with like the teachers, you know, I was like one of those like students that would, you know, always do my homework or whatever. And so, I found, that I was just, you know, I don't know. I think adaptability is like the big word, especially again, just kind of going back to the vision loss thing. I mean, I kind of have to be adaptable in that way too.
Yeah,
so like, let's say for instance, out in the hallway, there's like a big glass table and it took me forever to learn that that table was there.
Oh yeah. You know what? Even for seeing people, it's hard to see it. It really is.
But now
it's all glass.
Well, now I can like maneuver that room easily. And even if I leave and come back like years later, hopefully if you had it in the same position, I would be able to navigate it.
Wow.
So it's all about adaptability.
That's true. Yeah. So you have to develop your other senses even more, right?
Exactly. Wow. Exactly. Yeah. So,
that's amazing. You know, I mean, the courage to continue and not be depressed in your situation, you know, and actually decide to live and to live nicely, you know, and you're creating a lot of things. You learned the piano. How old were you at the time?
I was very young. I was probably like, I remember the first time I ever played the piano, I was like 4.
Oh, wow.
My mom, she knew I was musical and she wanted to buy me a trumpet for some reason. I don't know why. But we went to the music store and she was looking at the different trumpets and I just immediately went to the piano and I just started playing.
Really?
And I didn't know what a chord, like I just started playing chords and like, you know, maneuvering and I hadn't ever played it before. And they were like, wow, your daughter seems to know how to play the piano. Why don't you just get her piano lessons?
Yeah.
And she was like, I had no idea that she could do that.
Yeah.
But, you know, we leaned into the piano. I would play the piano at home a lot. I then started singing in the church choirs and stuff like that and singing in school choruses. So, yeah.
Yeah. Amazing.
Mm-hmm.
So you were very young learning the piano. Was it hard for you, like harder than it would for a seeing person?
No, I actually think it was easier. I don't know, actually.
But
what I do know is I used a lot of ear.
Yeah.
And so I tried to take a piano lesson and they wanted to teach me how to read music. Mm-hmm. But at the time I had more vision, but I couldn't read the music at the pace the song needed to be played.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I just threw all that out of the window and I just started self-teaching. And so I self-taught myself.
Like essentially, by ear.
By ear. Yeah, exactly.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Most blind folks, I mean, you know, we have to learn by ear. So
yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. You know, I mean, I can't just like help but be so impressed, you know, with the fact, because, you know, sometimes, you know, us people that can see, sometimes you wonder, well, what would happen if I couldn't see, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm thinking I couldn't live like that, you know?
So, and I have, so I have this conversation with people a lot because,
right.
you know, you're definitely not the first person that's been like, okay, Lachi, you're obviously like really happy.
Yeah.
You have a lot of fun in life and you're just having a good time. And it's like, So in 2016, I believe it was when, I started, you know, like I told you, I had better eyesight before.
Right.
In 2016, my eyesight started to rapidly degrade.
Okay.
So I went to the eye doctor. I was like, what's going on? And he was like, you're going to be blind in a couple of years.
Oh, wow.
So as soon as I left the office, my first thought was, how do I capitalize off of this?
Yeah.
How do I turn this into money? So I started a bucket list of things I wanted to do.
Right.
So by the time it was a couple of years later, I started my bucket list. Mm-hmm. I was jumping out of airplanes. I was spelunking.
What?
I was like diving. I started meeting with celebrities I always wanted to meet.
Yeah.
And then I was like, why would I stop?
Yeah.
After the bucket, like when it's over,
yeah.
Even if once I go blind, I just still want to keep doing this stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
and so that's pretty much what this is. I'm still living
mindset,
my bucket list,
right?
Exactly.
It's how you view things.
Well, and you know what else though? Mm. When we turn on the TV, when we turn on the, you know what I mean?
Right.
What we see dictates how we are going to feel and believe about things. Mm. And when we see people who are blind or people with first of all, you barely ever see it on TV anyway.
Yeah.
But when you do, it's always so sad.
Yeah.
It's always so tragic.
That's
and
true.
Then, you know, we then reinforce it into society. Mm-hmm. So one of the things that I'm trying to do is to shatter that notion.
Okay.
Of like, oh, well, if I go blind, my life is over. I may as well just lay in bed all day and whatever.
Right.
I'm like, you know what? You can be blind and be cute.
Right.
You can be blind and be successful, and
right.
you can be blind and make other people feel good about themselves and their lives, including yourself. You can have a relationship. You can have children. You can get an education. You can get the job you've always wanted, and you can live the life you've always wanted to live. Mm. And I am proof.
Amazing. Amazing. Now, so like, for example, you mentioned there's not a lot of blind people on TV and in movies and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
I was reading somewhere. Are you like into activism about that? Tell me a little bit about that.
So I really am a proponent for greater representation of people with all disabilities in Hollywood,
right.
whether it's music, whether it's film, whether it's advertising,
right.
because I firmly believe that it's going to be, we can set all the laws we want, right? We can say, okay, nobody can sit in the accessible seating. Nobody can sit in the accessible bathroom. We can make all these laws,
mm-hmm.
but the mindset isn't going to change until culture changes.
Yeah.
And I believe culture will change once we start having these ambassadors, you know, seeing people who are on the screen, having different disabilities will mm. then get the mainstream public to start viewing disability different.
Right.
I mean, this happened with the LGBTQ community when they had, what was the name of that show? The Family. Gosh, it was like a family with a gay father and father, like two men, and they had kids.
I remember that. I can't remember the name
remember
of the show.
Modern Family.
Okay.
And, you know, it was two guys and they were raising these, you know, bratty kids.
Uh-huh.
And a lot of people could relate. They were like, it's a family show. And then people started being able to relate more to LGBTQ people having
right.
a whole family.
Yeah.
So that's essentially my argument. But I go a step further to say that we need people behind the scenes, too.
Mm-hmm.
We need the writers and the directors and the showrunners and the people casting and making and writing the checks to also have any gambit of disability, whether it's blindness, whether it's deafness, whether it's any chronic conditions, neurodivergence, mental health conditions. I mean, it's a
right.
really, really wide umbrella.
Right.
I want it throughout the entire spectrum of the entertainment industry.
Right.
And that's how we'll really begin to push culture and start having some change making happen.
That's true. Yeah. So somebody has to be out there advocating.
Yes.
For this. And you decided you're going to do it. Yeah. At what point did you decide you're going to do something about it?
You know, it's all my, when I started finding, you know, it's funny because 2016 was when I got my the diagnosis.
Mm-hmm.
2016 was also when I got signed to like a major music management firm, to start, you know, writing. I started songwriting for like major artists and my career started to, you know, get better. People were calling me. I started I was going to different studios
right.
and then I realized like, and I was getting invited to parties.
Yeah.
And so in these dark parties, I couldn't really see in these studios. I couldn't really navigate on my own.
Yeah.
So I had to like, something had to happen or else I wouldn't be able to do my best work.
Yeah.
So I would start like asking for accommodation.
Mm.
Oh, hey, can you guys do this? Because I can't see very well. Or,
right.
oh, hey, can this and that? And then I just had to keep doing that every single time.
Mm-hmm.
And it started to get to a point where it's like, why can't this already kind of be the norm? Like some of these accommodations.
Yeah.
Why am I always the first?
Yeah.
And then I started finding out that it wasn't that I was the first. It's that no one felt like speaking up because they didn't feel like dealing with it, or they didn't want to maybe seem like a burden or annoying.
Yeah.
And I was like, I want to do something for all of the me's that are not speaking up.
Right.
Because there's a ton. It's not that there aren't any. It's just that no one's speaking up.
Yeah.
And in 2020, I was in the Recording Academy, mm-hmm. and which is they do the Grammys.
Right.
And they were like, I said the same thing to them. I was like, what are we doing about accessibility and disability? And they were like, well, you know,
nothing.
And they were sweet about it, but like they were honest. And so they said, can you put on a panel, mm-hmm. you know, so that we can discuss it? And this is, you know, right during the height of COVID is when we did the panel. I spoke to the Grammys leadership mm-hmm. on a panel. And then, you know, I was just talking about like, what is disability? How can in the music industry, how can we be more accessible? All of that kind of stuff.
Right.
That ended up blowing up. And everybody was watching it.
Yeah.
And then people started coming to my DMs and they were like, okay, so are you going to start this movement mm-hmm. about, you know, music and disability? And I was like, mm-hmm. no, I was like, I'm just a singer.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
And so I didn't want to.
Yeah.
But it just, people kept asking and asking and asking in my emails and saying like, this is so great. I can't believe this has begun. Mm-hmm. So one day this is true. I woke up and I had the idea Ramped. Recording Artists and Music Professionals with Disabilities. Mm. I just had the acronym, nothing more.
Yeah.
But I knew that with that acronym, like that was money, that was gold. Like that was the movement. So I began to reach back out to everybody that was talking to me.
Right.
And we started to meet, you know, we started to do these little like guerrilla meetings on Zoom and like, let's talk about what we want to do. What do we want to say? What do we want this entity to bring? And today, which is about 3 years later, two and a half, 3 years later, you know, Ramped works with the Grammys and Sony and Netflix and Tidal and everywhere, bringing disability inclusion, disability mm-hmm. culture, and accessibility and safe spaces to the music industry, whether it's through consulting and trainings or whether it's through programming and strategy and other tools. And so we're really, really proud to be that that nexus that brings together accessibility and disability and the music and live entertainment industry.
Yeah. Yeah. Amazing. Amazing.
Mm-hmm.
You're very creative too, right?
Yeah. I mean, I do so much, girl. I sing songs. I play the piano.
Yeah.
But then I also run Ramped as the CEO.
Right.
But then I also like to just do other little corny things like these glam canes. I don't know if you can see this, but it's one of the white sticks that the blind folks use, but it's glammed out with jewels.
Yeah.
Very, very bejeweled glammed out. And I call it a glam cane. And it's so funny because I have all my blind girlfriends. I've been giving them to my blind girlfriends.
Oh.
People have been like buying them off my website. And so now there's blind folks walking around looking dope. So
yeah, looks different and nice.
It looks different and nice. I'm like, you can feel confident. So I love to like include fashion into my advocacy, music into my advocacy, you know, public speaking and storytelling into my advocacy. But it's all for one goal.
Yeah.
The goal is to kind of use pop culture as a tool to mainstream this discussion of disability.
Yeah. Wow. So going back a little bit, after high school, you went to college, right?
Yes.
Where did you go?
I went to UNC Chapel Hill and I went to New York University.
Okay.
I studied, economics and music.
Mm-hmm.
And then, after that, I stayed in New York.
Right.
I lived generally in Manhattan, but in different like areas of Manhattan.
Right.
And my first job was with the DOE, the Department of Education.
Right.
And it was a desk job because, listen, my parents were like, girl, you need to get a job. They wanted to make sure that I had a job. Then I ended up working for the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers. So pretty young, it was a pretty big job.
Yeah.
But the thing about it was, is that they have like, for those federal positions, they kind of have your whole life mapped out.
Okay.
They're like, okay, here's your salary. You work this, you know, work here for 2 years and then your salary is this. And then here for 2 years and your salary is that.
I see.
And I was like, I don't want to be here forever.
Yeah.
I don't want this to be my life.
Yeah.
So I was like living a double life where I'm like playing music at night.
Right.
And going to work during the day, which was exhausting.
Yeah.
Then I got signed.
Mm-hmm.
So I got signed. I got signed to a label.
Yeah.
And then we started touring. And then eventually I ended up quitting my job.
Yeah.
And then I started doing music full time. And I'm really, it was scary to leave though.
Yeah.
Because
I can't imagine.
It wasn't like we were like becoming millionaires.
Right.
Right. And so I had a nice cushy job. Mm-hmm. I had health care. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah.
And then I was like, am I going to, because New York rent is not. It's not a joke,
not
right? So I took the leap, and I'm really glad I did.
Yeah, very nice.
Mm-hmm.
Did you going to college? Was that a challenge for you, or
no?
Were you able to like write and read at the time? Because you said it got worse in 2016.
Yeah,
but before that, you were able to see better.
I was able to see better, but like you know, I it's a combination of like reading things really, really close.
Okay.
And then also audiobooks and using like text to speech.
Right.
Was generally how I navigated.
I see.
I was never really a Braille user.
Okay.
Most blind folks actually don't read Braille.
Really?
Yeah. So only about like 10% of blind folks actually read Braille.
Yeah.
I can read Braille, mm-hmm. but it's very like perfunctory.
Okay.
So I tend to just do audiobooks or text to speech, or I'll hold it very close and zoom in.
Right.
And
what did you do when you had to write?
Yeah, same thing.
Same thing.
Well, because I grew up knowing how to write.
Oh, okay.
Right, because I had
right.
better vision. So
yeah.
I can still write. Writing is actually not. In fact, I have pretty good handwriting. I have pretty good calligraphy.
Yeah. Except nobody writes anymore.
Who
you know,
writes?
We're all type.
Who can write? Nobody can write.
Yeah,
so,
exactly.
So yeah.
Wow. And you learned how to type. I would imagine that was not that hard, right?
Typing was, in fact, I learned how to type in like second grade. I was like at like 70 words, whatever. You know what I mean? So typing is like so second nature.
Yeah.
I type like ridiculously fast.
Yeah, really?
yeah, above average fast.
Yeah,
I have a ton of typos.
Yeah, well.
I can type faster than I think.
Really?
And then, like, that's why, like, I have so many typos, because I was like, hey, I didn't even have that thought. How did my hands know that?
Right.
So, yeah.
But that's good, because today there's a lot more technology, right, to
yes.
make things easier for you.
Yeah, I think that's another thing that I try to always coach my friends, especially folks that are going through. I have a bunch of, like, older friends that are, like, slowly starting to lose their vision, and they're like, how do I stay positive? And I say, embrace the technology that is there for you.
Right.
Everything from adaptive technologies to, you know, this to that. There's so much out there.
Right.
And it's there for you.
Yeah.
And then part of it is just the denial, right? I don't want to learn the technology because that really says that I'm accepting that I'm losing my vision.
Right.
But that's shooting yourself in the foot because yeah. once you actually do embrace the technology and honestly embrace your disability, mm. you get on the other side faster and you don't have to deal with all the BS.
Right.
So,
yeah. So you were signed to a company, right?
I was signed to a label. Yeah. Record
label.
Yes.
Wow. That's amazing. So they went based on the music that you had made so far?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what were you writing songs on your own and things like that?
Yeah. So when I first got signed to my first record deal, I had actually gone to South by Southwest with a friend.
Okay.
And he was also blind, actually. And so we went down there and we didn't have a gig or anything. South by Southwest is like this big festival in Texas.
In Austin. Right.
And it used to be a lot more music-y.
Right.
And a lot more like fun. And now it's just a bunch of, you know, tech AI bros. But no hate to my tech AI bros, but
yeah.
you guys are ruining everything.
But Austin is still music-y and stuff,
Austin
right?
is still music-y. So we went down there and then... So we went down there with our guitars and we were like, we're just going to go play anywhere just to be part of the fun.
Yeah.
And but before we left, I wrote to a bunch of record labels, like the executives. And I said, hey, we're going to be down in Austin and we're going to be playing at this really small bar. Come check us out. Knowing full well that that's not how it works. Right.
Right.
Like, I don't even know where I got those email addresses from. So we go and we play at this bar that has like six people in it. Like no one, you know, we were just having a good time. We didn't care.
Yeah.
And then after we were done playing, a guy comes up to us and he says, hey, I am a record label A&R from EMI. So mm-hmm. back then, EMI is basically under Universal now. But
right.
at that time, it was its own label.
And
he handed us his card and then left. And first of all, we didn't know how to read it. So we were trying to figure it out. But anyway. But we were like, holy crap, did that come from those emails we sent?
Yeah.
And it had. And then we got signed. And then so that was when we toured. And then I eventually left my job. I then started doing music on my own. Mm-hmm. After we had a 1-year deal with that label. I had issues with that label, though, because should I just say this on the radio? They were trying to market me as like this blind shtick, right? They were like, blind musician, blind this, blind that, right? And so I didn't like that. Yeah. And it's funny when I tell people this, they're like, but you say that now you're proud of your blindness. Why weren't you at that time?
Yeah.
And it just felt like charity or something. Like, it wasn't from a place of power.
Right.
It wasn't my own power that it was coming from.
Right. As though it's not your talent, but because you're different.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I was saying, like, the music should stand on its own. So anyway, I ended up not re-signing with that label, did some things on my own, then got with that management company.
Right.
And then that was when things started to take off.
Right.
And that was when I started, you know, going to those studios, advocating myself. And I started to say, you know what? I'm going to start talking about how I'm blind on my terms.
Right.
I'm going to say it from a place of pride, a place of power, a place of self-respect.
Right.
And not just for other people like me to start doing it, but for other people to just see it.
Right.
And to start recognizing that that's a thing that can exist.
Yeah, for sure. So that was nice. Now, what was it like for you the first time you went into the studio? Was it like, hard for you? I would have hard is not the question I'm looking for. But did you feel comfortable there? Mm. Like, this is where I belong? Because,
just technically and physically and accessibility always kind of a little difficult. But when I get two places where I feel the most comfortable are in front of a piano and in front of a microphone.
I see. Okay. So you were in
so
your
element. So just like, just get me
element.
There.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
So,
were you like singing in other places before, like clubs, bars, things like that? Or
Not too much.
Right.
Not until we started touring. And then once we started touring, then live also became a very comfortable place.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, who were you touring with? Did you have a band?
Yeah. At that time when we were signed to the label, I had it was bass, guitar, drums, and then sometimes a violinist.
Okay.
And then myself on the keys.
Uh-huh.
And, we were super tight, as in, like, we were just very musically tight.
Yeah.
And we were also pretty good friends, I guess.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So,
how did you, who put the band together? Was it you?
I did, actually.
Oh.
I just knew some people from around the town, and then they knew people, and it just kind of came together organically.
Yeah.
But we all, like, knew each other from different, like vision loss communities or, you know, stuff like that. So we all had actually varying degrees of vision loss.
Right.
And it was one of the reasons we were kind of upset with the label. Because they weren't just saying, oh, Lachi's blind. They were like, and this blind band.
Yeah.
And so people were comparing us to like the Blind Boys of Alabama, which is like a totally different genre.
Right.
People were calling me the new Stevie Wonder, which is like, again, a totally different genre. And I'm like, I'm not the new Stevie Wonder. I am this Lachi.
There you go. And you don't need to be like someone else. I mean, you're full of personality as it is, you know, for more than one person.
Hey! You know?
So let's play some of your music.
Yes.
We have a couple songs here.
Sure.
Out of the Dark and A Girl.
Yes.
Which one should we play first? Out of the Dark?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I can give an intro to Out of the Dark.
Yeah.
So Out of the Dark is a song that I did with a trans artist named Medusa.
Okay.
We did this together, and we essentially the whole series of these songs is called Mad Different. Mm-hmm. And it's essentially a celebration of being different. And so Out of the Dark is a song about just coming out and being yourself, being loud and proud. And coming out doesn't have to just be about being, you know, LGBTQ, queer, trans.
Right.
I came out about my disability and was very comfortable. And so this song is about coming out as who you are in whatever shape or form that is.
Yeah. Sounds amazing. Let's check it out. And this is Out of the Dark by Lachi.
Hey, it's Spencer
listen.
West. This is Out of the Dark by Lachi featuring Medusa. Lachi performs at a piano in Amazon Music Studios and is joined by Medusa. Three musicians and a sign language artist perform beside them.
lipstick misfit. Stay forever numb, young and done with labels. Yeah, slightly stable, yeah. Leave your misguided at the door. We don't abide by that shit no more. So loud we drive right through the floor. We're coming out of the dark. And when you're lonely, I got you. And when I'm low, you got me too.
Your spikes on. I broke out of hiding, now I'm driving with the brights on. Lipstick got me shiny like Houdini with some ice on. Like me in my nightie, you should see me with the lights on. Icon, sea full of fish to a shark. You're a python, yes, and they'll ditch if they're smart. Feel the bass and the beat of your telltale heart. Show your face and your freak. Yeah, we out of the dark.
A lot of soul in this song.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes, 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 yes.
Yeah.
And it was really a pleasure to record. We had a really great team. I played, you know, the keys. We had a great bongo player, a great bassist. And then for that music video, we shot it in Amazon Music Studios for the music video that we did. Uh-huh. And it was really exciting because we were able to really feature this amazing ASL performer who did sign language during the music video named Indy Robinson. Uh-huh. And so it was just all around such a great vibe, and everybody involved from in front of the camera to behind the camera was just a person of either color or LGBTQ or had a disability or, you know, anything that they could lean into that related to the song. So it was just a really beautiful situation.
Yeah. Now with sign language, is it possible to convey the melody, the music?
I mean, from what I know, so we wanted to use an authentically deaf person.
Okay.
So the woman actually doing the sign language in the video is deaf.
Oh,
right?
Really?
So, yes, exactly.
So how can she do the...
Exactly, right? Yeah. So we wanted to just push as many boundaries as possible because I would think that, like, if you can hear, then you can do it to the beat.
Right.
But we wanted to go the extra step of doing it with a deaf person. So what we ended up doing was she had the words written out in front of her, and then they would, like, appear when it was time to be said.
Right.
And so then she would do the signs, and then she's kind of... she can feel the beat of the bongos because we had it beside her.
Uh-huh.
So she could feel the beat and the pacing while reading
and
signing. And so she was able to kind of dance around.
Yeah. Very inspiring. You know, I mean, I don't think anybody can actually come out and do all these things. You know, I mean, that's why I can't stop being impressed by all the stuff that you've done. You know,
well, thank you.
Amazing.
You know, I feel like it's one of those things where it has to be like amazing. It has to be really dope to be able to work,
right?
Because if it's not, then people are just like, "Aw, they tried.
Yeah, yeah.
But I want to be like, no, you know what? I want my art to stand beside anybody else's art.
Right, exactly.
So that's what we're doing here.
Yeah, yeah. Amazing. We'll listen to the other song in just a moment.
Yeah.
Here in the notes, it says you are USA Today's
oh, yeah.
2024 Woman of the Year.
Yes. Yeah, I was very honored and very blessed to be honored with USA Today Woman of the Year. And actually, just yesterday, mm-hmm. I received an award from Ad Color, which is this huge sort of conference mm-hmm. that awards people who are doing things in advertising and media and entertainment and music to kind of
right.
push the culture forward. So yeah. I won the award of Innovator last night. So that
wow.
was just yesterday.
That's amazing.
Yeah. I got to say, I'm really proud because I'm kind of a trenches kind of person. Like mm-hmm. I go all the way deep in. I want to know what everybody's doing. I want to help. I want to build. I also love to meet people and just
right.
know, like, so with Ramped, it's a very large community mm-hmm. as well. So yeah, we do consulting and things like that, but we also cultivate this large network of music professionals with disabilities, neurodivergence, chronic conditions, rare diseases, all of that kind of stuff.
Right.
And I always want to go out and just meet everybody
yeah.
and like ask them, what do you need? Like,
yeah.
how can we at Ramped make this work for you? Because this is why we made it.
Right.
And so many times people are so afraid to just say what they need.
Right.
Like, because no one's ever asked.
Yeah.
Right. And is it money that you need? Is it exposure that you need? Is it more accessibility that you need? Just say it. Let's
yeah.
start saying it. And as we're doing that, we're able to put out all of these great programming
right.
directly told to us by the community.
Yeah.
And then we go to the music record labels and then we go to the like event and venue spaces and we say, mm-hmm. how we know what we need. Mm-hmm. How can we at Ramped help you give our community what they need?
Yeah.
And so they say, well, can you give us like low cost, low hanging fruit stuff for us to start with?
Right.
So we work that out.
Uh-huh.
And just that ecosystem.
Yeah.
That I think is what we're all celebrating here. That I
right.
think is the woman of the year-ness, is the
yeah.
Ad Color-ness, because it's a lot of moving parts, but it's a lot of, don't be afraid. Just tell me what you need. And then don't be afraid. We want to help you make it.
Right.
Is essentially what this whole thing is.
And they've recognized all your contributions and everything. And they
sure.
decided, you know, here's an example of someone who is like, should be the woman of the year, you know.
Yeah,
so,
right.
Congratulations to you.
Oh,
you know,
thank you.
It's a big deal, you know.
thank you.
Thank you.
It's an honor to be recognized for the work we're doing, but mm-hmm. I got to say, even more so, it's an honor to do the work.
Yeah.
yeah,
I believe you, you know. And we're running out of time, but so let's play
okay.
Part of a Girl.
Sure. Sure.
And just to get a little idea about it, do you want to introduce this song?
Really quickly, yeah, sure. This is a song I wrote about, you know, the trials and triumphs of being a woman.
Mm-hmm.
And it is coming out tomorrow. The music video is coming out tomorrow.
Oh, wow.
So really excited about that.
Yeah.
But it's sung by three blind women of color,
mm-hmm.
Myself and my friend Precious Perez and my other friend Jay Renee. All three of us, strong, beautiful, blind women. And we mm-hmm. came together to sing this song.
Oh, wow.
I'm excited about it.
Yeah. Yeah, let's take a listen. This is a Girl
Have
by Lachi.
You ever got to thinking they're all swimming while I'm sinking in the sea? Is it only me? While they're maxing and relaxing, I'm here masking, reenacting like a chump. Am I the only one? It's like every time they trip and fall, they get another chance. You slip once and you're escorted from the dance.
It's because you're a girl.
It's because you're a girl. Yeah.
Have you wondered why your teacher and the mailman and the preacher is such a dick?
It's 'cause you're a chick. You wondered why a vendor, from the store clerk to bartender, such a heel.
Just 'cause you're in heels.
And they make you set the table, but you can't sit down to eat. It's like reproduce, rinse off, and then repeat.
It's because you're good.
Wow. Beautiful song, you know.
Thank you.
You guys know what you're doing, you know.
Oh yeah, the tight harmony is there. You know?
Yeah, for sure.
Thank you so much.
When did you write this song?
This I wrote just during all the girl stuff that's been going on. It just kind of popped into my head, and I was like, I have to tell the world this.
Right.
And I want to tell it with the perspective. I want this to be a song sung by many women and not just me.
Right.
And so my friends came together and we all sang it together. And,
amazing. Yeah. Now, when you write a song, does the music come to you, or do you sit with the piano and you start?
It's different every time.
Really?
It's different every time. It could just come to me and then I'll just get my recording memo out and just sing something so I don't forget it.
Right.
Or I can be angry or happy and I'm in front of the piano with a big emotion.
Yeah.
And then I just start banging and a song comes out. So, so it's many different things, but I think mainly it is my human experience.
Right.
That is just coming out.
Right.
Like onto the flowing out. And it's like, if I do nothing, mm-hmm. songs don't come.
Yeah.
When I go out and I take a walk, when I go out and I, you know, interact with friends, when mm-hmm. I get hurt by somebody or when I'm celebrated for something,
right.
that's when the music comes.
I see. Okay. And finally, Mad Different. What is that? Tell us about
it. So Mad Different, essentially, so these two songs that you've heard now are mm-hmm. two of the four songs in Mad Different. And so what Mad Different is a celebration of all of my identities.
Okay.
So I'm celebrating my woman identity through A Girl. I'm celebrating my queer identity through Out of the Dark. I'm uh-huh. celebrating my black identity through a song called That Kind of Black. That's not quite out yet. That'll be out in January.
Uh-huh.
And then I'm celebrating my disability identity through a song called Diseducation, which comes out in December.
Uh-huh.
So that's what that is. And all of the songs were with the same band. So mm-hmm. you'll hear the bongos, you'll hear the bass, you'll hear that cello.
Right.
And we performed it all at Amazon Music Studios.
Mm-hmm.
We were supported by the Pop Culture Collaborative, who supports, you know, sort of artistic stuff by folks who are marginalized and things like that.
Yeah.
And we had a really, really great time. I'm really excited about it. It's a discussion piece. And it's just a real celebration of self-acceptance.
Yeah. Wow. Where do you find the time to do all this?
Yeah, I know. I look at my calendar and I'm tired.
You need to take a break, right?
That's why I'm on Venice Beach. I'm about to go back over there and just enjoy the sand.
Oh, awesome. So you're spending a few days here in LA?
Spending a few days here in LA doing a little recording. We are working on a new album for just a fuller, more sort of pop dance album.
Yeah.
I don't know when we're planning on putting it out. I'm thinking 2025 at some point. 2025. That's the next year, right? Okay.
Yeah.
2025 at some point. Uh-huh. And then also doing some writing. I had inked a deal with Penguin Random House for a book.
Mm.
So we're writing that book too as well.
Yeah.
So there's just, so it's, and then, you know, being here on the beach, it's, you know, where I can write well and write some songs and get some things in. So, yeah.
A lot of inspiration there.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, very nice.
Exactly. Yeah.
Well, enjoy our sunshine here and everything else. How can people find you more about you, contact you?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm Lachi, L-A-C-H-I, Lachi like Versace. You can find me on Lachi Music, L-A-C-H-I-M-U-S-I-C. .com or on Instagram or Twitter. Well, maybe not Twitter. And all of the places, Spotify, et cetera, please come see us. We have upcoming tour dates. We have so much, as you can see, going on. But also if you're a recording artist or a music professional that happens to have a disability or a neurodivergence or whatnot, or if you know someone who is, please check us out at RAMPD. That's RAMPD.org. Or if you are a music organization or a live events organization and you want to partner, check us out at RAMPD.
Yeah, there you go. A lot going on. Lachi, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Of course, I wish you continued success in everything you do. And, you know, congratulations.
Thank you.
You're full of life and I'm extremely impressed, you
know.
Thank
you so much.
I didn't know what to expect, but but I'm like extremely impressed and blown away by all the stuff you do. And congratulations to you. You know, you're a good soul.
Thank you. Thank you. That means a lot. Thank you.
Of course. Thank you everybody for listening and we'll see you all tomorrow.
Listening to Sam in the Morning, only on LA Talk Radio.